Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us our review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifestor that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. Per usual, we kick today off with another My Magnetic Story. I've been studying reparent opulence in the tools, and in an earlier post, I mentioned how my husband and I had manifested $75,000 to pay off debt after following Lacey's guidelines. I've been fortunate to have been married for 37 years to a man who has worked hard and been successful to give us an amazing, wonderful life to me and our three adult children. I'm the dreamer, the rose-colored glasses, let's try this and do that, go here and go there, and float about lighting up his and our family's lives with love and laughter. Needless to say, I've never been hands-on with the money bills, insurance, accounts receivable, and payable, and now realizing that I've been seriously lacking in masculine worth energy, when our now adult kids gifted us an appointment with a financial advisor, I kind of freaked out. My husband is living out his last years with cancer, and our children wanted to be sure I had my shit together, was aware of what bills that needed to be paid, and that I would know what to do when the time came to say goodbye. I dragged my feet to the advisor's office with my husband, but what I found out, what I've always believed, is that knowledge is power. Throw the light on the darkness and start to learn about it. Do the work so you can be successful. It wasn't scary. The advisor didn't yell at us. In fact, it was enlightening and made my financial self-worth climb up a notch. So back to the point. My husband and I are both going over what the $75,000 is going to be directed towards and where we stand at this time. And I'm feeling like I'm contributing my ideas and intelligence to our finances. And more, an investment that we were a part of will be paying off early in a big way in the next few months. I really believe that doing the work, stepping into my masculine worth energy, and taking ownership of the other half of me, crunching numbers, going after goals, and passing tests, that the universe is congratulating me and rewarding us with these unexpected financial windfalls. Thank you so much for sharing this, and I'm really sending so much love with your husband and how painful and hard that experience must be. And I'm just so proud of you for empowering yourself at this point. You're worth it. We all have that masculine worth energy. It actually has not much to do with feminine masculine. It was just kind of the only energetic label I could put on it, that sort of in your power worthiness around money. So thank you for sharing that. Anybody who's also interested in this, you can find it inside of Opulence, which is a la carte, or inside the pathway. Stay tuned to the end of this episode because I'm going to be answering another supported question, which is my bi-monthly class where I answer everybody's manifestation questions within the pathway subscription. A few episodes back, you heard me speaking to founder of Blue Blocks, Andy Matt. And in the episode, I go over how I've healed my hormones through alleviating all non-native EMFs, as well as protecting myself from blue light in the evenings. I'm actually super opposed to talking about products on the podcast, but this is one that I think is completely instrumental, like I said on that podcast episode, especially to my female listeners for their hormone protection. I talk about how I've completely healed my hormones from doing the two things I stated above. And a huge component of that has been using Blue Blocks glasses, the red ones, the red lenses in the evening. So I do that as soon as the sun's setting, I throw them on. And in the day, I wear the yellow lenses that are kind of in the cool 50s retro Ray-Ban frames. And I'll also carry around, which I think are super chic, the clear lenses in my purse at all times. I do the really big aviator ones so that that can also help protect me throughout the day, especially when I'm in front of the computer or I'm in front of, you know, my screen. Otherwise, I'm without fail protected in the evening with the red light protection. Now, for you who are still questioning, I highly recommend you go back and listen to that episode. It's Andy Mant, founder of Blue Blocks. And these are the only blue light glasses that are backed by science that actually work. So that should be really reassuring. And they obviously, as I've suggested, have daytime and nighttime lenses. And what's really cool and actually held me back for a long time and Max is that they do prescription. You shoot them your prescription and they'll make you the prescription or non-prescription and readers, whichever you need. It's free shipping all around the world. And you can even send your own frames that you love of whatever glasses you have and they'll add their lenses to it too. Again, please to my women listeners, all of my listeners, but especially who are dealing with hormone issues, who are dealing with sleep issues, you will notice a difference immediately from using these. I would suggest even after a couple of days, which is what I noticed. Go ahead and use the code MAGNETIC, that's capital MAGNETIC, for 15% off at checkout. And that's Blue Blocks, BLUBLOX. And you can find those in our show notes below. Go heal your hormones. Welcome back to the Expanded Podcast. Today we have an expander that I've just discovered recently for myself, Srimati. Is that Srimati?
Srimati. Thank you for saying it right.
Yes, aka Julie Pratt.
Pyatt. P-I-A-T-T, yeah.
Thank you for correcting
me. That's okay.
Srimati I got right.
Srimati. Well, you're like the only person that gets Srimati right, so it's fine.
I love it. Yeah. And so when we introduce you, I mean, I can go in and say you're everything. You're a musician, you're a podcaster. You've created your own yogic, like your own form of yoga, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You've healed yourself from, was it a tumor that you had?
It was a golf ball sized cyst in my neck.
And yeah. You totally healed it via Ayurveda?
With Ayurveda, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, and meditation and singing and devotion and
so
all the spiritual aspects of what it means to get into self-healing.
Wow. And yeah. I'm going to ask more of those questions in a minute because you're also a chef.
Yes.
And you have two books.
Yes.
Is that correct?
I have three books.
Three books now. Yeah. Tell us what they are.
I have The Plant Power Way.
That was your first.
Yeah, which I co-authored with my husband, Rich Roll. Mm-hmm. And then I have This Cheese is Nuts,
yes,
which is a plant-based cheese book
that
I created. Excellent. And then I co-authored a second book with Rich, which is called The Plant Power Way Italia.
Oh, because you guys have an amazing retreat that Mel always raves about in Italy.
Yes, this is true.
And it's like your kids come and play music. I mean, every time I hear about this, I'm like, God, I really want to go on
It's
that.
Kind of an amazing week. It really is. We do everything from, the menu's all plant-based for the entire week and the food is incredible. And then I teach yoga every day. Rich and I do programs and offer workshops. And then I do deeper spiritual practices like ritual, fire ceremony, yoga nidra, holotropic breathing.
Wow.
So we go deep and by the end of the week, you know, there's big transformation.
Wow.
And it's a beautiful place and beautiful experience. And yes, I'm very lucky that my kids crew. So we play music at night and it's, you know, it's a true little slice of lifestyle of
your family.
Of our family, yeah. And it's a real blessing, yeah.
Oh great. My gosh. So there's so many places I want to go and then I want to freeform it because we can get so spiritual and out there, which
exactly.
I think will be very fun.
Okay, good.
Tell me first, I'm so interested in this yoga, this type of yoga you've created because it's a breath yoga, right?
It's like an amalgam of practices that I learned over 20 years of practicing in different ways. And I'm not sure how I got this awareness, but it was probably through practicing yoga nidra, which is like a lucid dreaming technique, an ancient yogic technique. But I had this very visceral experience when I flipped my awareness to breathing with the whole body. So I'm very interested about embodying the spiritual in this physical body. This is a technology and really a temple. And so anything that I can do to shift the awareness to get presence or breath or prana into all aspects of the body, it's very transformative. And so the practice is also steady, it's slow, So if you have monkey mind and you want to kind of rush, you're going to have a little bit of constriction with it, or it's going to challenge you, because it's about slow movements, presence. When you're moving, when you move as if you're moving through honey. Mm. So it's almost like a Tai Chi or a conscious awareness. And it's about, I would say, a strong level two, as far as an asana practice. There's no crazy upside downs or, you know, any kind of acrobatics. It's just a steady, very sure yoga practice that really delivers. And I found it teaching it on retreat, which is where I teach it. It just works for any level yogi.
Wow.
Like, you can be a complete beginner, you can be a teacher. It really gets you into the presence, and it opens up that spiritual portal, which is what yoga brought me, you know, that second attention, that awareness of being able to be aware that you're breathing, aware that you're here.
Present.
Yeah, and I did record a video, so I have a yoga video of that practice online, and it's called Jai Yoga. Yeah.
It's on Vimeo. It's on Vimeo. Uh-huh. Okay, good. Yeah. I want to try it.
Yeah.
It sounds like the ultimate practice for a projector who's exhausted.
Yeah, it is. And the thing is I'm also very sensitive, and I don't like shocking my body. Mm-hmm. I want to climb in gently. Mm-hmm. I want to make it beautiful, and I want to make it soothing. I still am strong, but I don't want to exhaust the body, mm-hmm. or be violent or in any way. It's all nourishing from the inside. And one thing that's super special about this practice is that my sitar teacher, Shuman Laha, is a very celebrated Veena master, and he composed an actual original raga for the yoga practice.
Wow.
So it's like four or five sections, and the Veena is so slow and deep that it gets you into an altered thing. So it's really
on the Vimeo video. Wow.
Yeah. So it's cool.
Okay, let's take it back. And if anybody hasn't heard the podcast episode on Luke's story, you need to go listen to that as well, because you'll get to learn so much, and there might be some overlap on this one. But take us back to your cultural upbringing and where you were raised.
Okay, I was born in Colorado, I'm the youngest of five kids, and I was raised in the mountains. I grew up in nature, so I literally didn't have any toys, except for I had a good array of stuffed animals, and that was it. So I never played board games. I never did things that normal kids do, or, you know, at least in a modern world. I played in the forest. So my tree houses were in the forest. My make-believe worlds were in the forest, you know, by little streams out with the trees. Mm-hmm. And when I was 8 years old, my family moved to Alaska. And then I lived in Alaska from age 9 all the way till I had left for college at age 17. And mm-hmm. so I've had a lot of experiences in nature. I laugh now, being a mom, that I would go out hiking in mountains with two other young kids with no cell phone, no water, no protection, you know, against bears, like literally nothing.
Like no bear spray.
No, we would just go.
Yeah.
And we'd be gone for 15 to 20 hours at a stretch.
And your mom and dad, they just knew that you had the tools that you needed.
I don't even think that they did know. I think it was a different era or whatever. But, you know, I mean, I would go with this other family to this fishing village. We had to take a train through two tunnels to get to the fishing village. So you could only access it by boat or by train. And then these parents, you know, they liked to party. So they would go in the saloon and they'd be like, see you later. And
wow.
We were literally out on our own for hours. And that just shows you, it's like, I have a couple photographs from this time, and I was maybe 12, and I'm sitting on a rock next to a rushing river that is easily 50 feet wide or something.
That you could just like,
and as a mom, I would never let my kids do that, you know? But anyway, I got some blessings out of it.
I think about how, you know, because that's where we all come from. I grew up also on a ranch, and it was super normal at, I think I was 6. And I mean, my parents would teach me, my dad would be like, walk really tall during the grass so you don't hit a rattlesnake, you know? And then they were like, go by myself too. I only played in nature, and I was alone. I was an only child until 13.
Where was that?
Up in Yosemite.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Okay.
And I look back and I'm like, nowadays that would never fly. And I'm not a mom yet, so I know that's going to be an extra, you know, freak out and worry, but there's no way kids would do that now.
Yeah, it's a different world for sure. But I do credit that communion with nature I think it really developed my creativity and my ability to feel myself.
And you said that you have the gift of speaking with nature, communicating with it. What does that look like for you?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I don't even think I became viscerally aware of it. I mean, I've definitely, I would say that it's part of my devotion. So my devotion to life, the life that is breathing through me, is what allows me to manifest, what allows me to create and bring my visions into fruition. And what I know is that there's an entire Devic realm that is part of that process. And I do know this, and I am aware of nature spirits, and I've done certain things of like making offerings during meals, mm-hmm. you know, these type of things. But I actually only recently really am owning it mm-hmm. more.
Good, good.
And it became because I did my human design mm-hmm. recently. Mm-hmm. And during a reading that I had, the practitioner told, you know, she actually pointed it out. She was like, you have a gift to speak with animals and speak with nature. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I guess I kind of do, but I never really said it out loud,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, of course.
So that's been something that's been magnificent. Since the end of December, I've really felt a complete shift in the energetic field. Mm-hmm. And I've been literally communing with nature in a way that I've never experienced. My entire energy field feels awakened and alive and expanded. And it's almost as if it's a new day. It's a mm-hmm. completely new day.
It's like seeing
world.
The world completely differently
yeah,
now.
Yeah, really interesting.
I've had that recently, only since living up in Yosemite most of the time. And I've only reached it in meditation once, like that feeling of pure consciousness and connectedness. But now that I'm up there and we have a creek and it's like, it's so electric with the moss and on the rocks, and it's, I have all of the, you know, pines mm. and the cedars that I can really, and I can only drop in for little amounts of time where I can feel what they're feeling. I can feel everything that's going on and the connection with it. Not quite the communication yet, but it's like, it's kind of in the Matrix or something when everything slows down and you're fully connected to mm-hmm, everything. Mm-hmm. So it is
beautiful.
Really like seeing the world in a whole new way.
It is.
It's incredible.
It is. And it's this thing of, you know, I talk a lot about the fact that in this world, you know, the world value, I'm going to talk about, you know, the society values the things that are seen, you know, prove it to me.
Totally.
You know, like, you know, is it proven by science, or, you know, show me the proof, you know, the physical evidence.
Yeah.
And that's the masculine
yeah,
frequency.
Yeah.
And there is a whole half of creation, which is the feminine frequency, which is unseen.
Yeah.
And the thing is this is something that I, like many of us, forget to do, is ask.
Yeah.
We just don't ask because yeah. we're so used to handling everything. And we go, oh no, I got it. No. It's like ask.
Yeah.
So it's really beautiful.
It's such an important message. I was just mm-hmm. getting body work done 2 weeks ago. I was at like one of the most nervous system stress ever, like finishing construction, all this stuff. And the body worker was like, I keep getting the message from your guides. Like, you need to ask more. You need to ask them for help. You need to ask nature for help more. You need to ask people around you. And there is that feminine ask. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that mm-hmm. message. I hope that resonates with everybody mm-hmm. listening. Mm-hmm. And then what was your cultural upbringing?
Meaning, so my mom is from Chile.
Oh, she's Chilean.
Yeah, Chilean
oh, wow.
from Santiago. And my dad was Texan.
Okay.
So super fateful marriage they had, and they met in Santiago and they moved to the US, and she had 5 kids because she didn't have family here. So she wanted to make her own family.
Wow.
Yeah. So then we moved to Alaska when I was 9. And, you know, so it's been sort of this blend. And both of my parents were, I think, very adventurous, especially for that day. My dad was an Indiana Jones for real.
Oh, like he was a real, like, full survivor.
Educated, master's in engineering,
wow.
Worked for the natives in Alaska. He was their white man, and they hired him through almost the end of his life. He was making more at age 89 than he made in his 60s or 50s.
Wow.
And he was a civil engineer, so he did the project management on major buildings in Anchorage, the hospitals, art museum. His last project was a $72 million museum that he oversaw with, the architect was David Chipperfield, who's mm-hmm. a famous architect from London. So my dad had a very deep relationship with the land. He was a hunter. And I was the crazy yogi daughter that incarnated into his life. And
so teach him some lessons.
We were very, very opposite energies.
But it's so similar in a way, mm-hmm. if you really just coming at it differently, it mm-hmm. seems like. Mm-hmm. What about your mom?
And my mom is just a very elegant woman who was into fashion. She had her own dress shop. I was way overdressed as a teenager because I always got the best clothes from her shop.
Whoa.
So I was in Alaska in, you know, many feet of snow, walking around in black stilettos with beautiful clothes.
Wow.
So maybe that's why I love fashion.
Because you have a whole background in fashion.
Yeah,
right?
I was a fashion designer, had my own collection for, I think, about 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, tell us your trajectory in career that brought you to where you are today, because that's it will be very expansive for
Let's
people.
Let's see. So So one thing that I think might be interesting to know is that I've always had this thing about my personality that I never believed that I had to train in something in order to know how to do it.
Me too. I have that as well,
okay.
Which is so wild. I've always been I don't need school for that. I got this.
I got it. And maybe it's that courage, I guess, to just go for it.
Yeah.
And it's a childlike, I'm not saying that I couldn't benefit from some technique.
Yeah.
I totally could.
An education.
Yeah, right. But I just never did it that way. So I worked at my mom's store when I was in high school. I went to Arizona State really to thaw out from being frozen entire childhood.
And party a little,
lot. I got a degree in business, international marketing, went to France for a semester, just basically left school, went to France, lived a semester, came back and got 17 credits because I spoke French fluently by that time.
Oh, no way. Yeah. So you can pick up languages easily.
Yeah, very easily. Yeah.
What a gift.
Yeah.
I'm just an ignorant
You
American.
Can't do that? No.
My French is horrendous. I won't even speak it when I'm there, even though I know a decent amount.
Right. Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah. I just sort of remembered it, after a while. So then what did I do? I ended up graduating from Arizona State, went into the garment business. And I wasn't planning on coming to LA, but I got the right job, which brought me here.
Wow.
And I had this great mentor who basically told me, this is what you do. You show them the line and then you ask for the order. And so I asked for the order and I came back from my first show with this huge pile of orders.
Wow.
And my boss was like, what did you do? And I'm like, I asked for the order. You know, it was kind of like that. So I was a natural salesperson. It was easy for me. And that was a real fun experience because there were a lot of young people in the business and we would do these trade shows. And then soon I was working for Shelley Siegel.
I don't know Shelley.
She was a designer who designed for a line later called Laundry. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you...
Yeah.
It was a while ago.
Totally.
But anyway, so Shelley then was super secretive, but she started calling me in to edit her line. So I was the only one she would let see her stuff. And, and then I went, I quit and went back to school. I went to FIDM, mm-hmm. FIDM, as a professional for a year to get my degree in fashion design after. And then I decided to launch my own company. Shelley begged me not to do it, mm-hmm. literally pleaded and begged me. She was like, don't, you're going to lose all your money. Don't do
it.
Yeah,
she's like, it's not smart.
She's like, don't do it. But I did it.
Max too. When you get the bug, you got the bug.
You just got to do it. So I did it. I had a successful, I'm doing my hands in quotations.
Yeah.
I was in Women's Wear Daily. I sold Macy's, Nordstrom's, Barney's, Fred Siegel. I had my clothes worn by, music artists, and I was literally killing myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was dying on the vine.
Ugh, trying to stick with seasons. It's insane, man. You have to be crazy.
Yeah,
that's what I see.
It's
from Max.
Very, very crazy. So during that time, I gave birth to two babies, my boys, my older boys. And I was a prolific designer. I mean, really amazing. My line is still gorgeous. If you look at it, it's I was good.
Because you sold and it's still alive?
No, it's not.
Oh, just looking back.
Just looking back. But the thing is that just to make money in that business, it's you need so much money and you need so many other players that
actually...
And yours
was a wholesale model, right?
It was a wholesale model.
Which is so crazy to me. There's where's the money in that? It's
crazy. All these things that I learned after 6 years and then I was just exhausted and I closed it down. And then, but before I did, which was kind of interesting, is I took the line out of the stores and I called my best girlfriends in the biggest five cities. And I was like, get me 50 women. And I flew in, I got a model, flew in, did a show and sold everything 100% upfront for delivery 12 weeks later.
Wow.
And I managed this for about a year, and then it was like too much. I was like 1,000 orders I had to manage, yeah. like which one. It was like crazy. But it was a really cool model. And so because I had that experience, it gave me a lot of ability. And after that, I built 2 houses from raw land.
And, here in LA?
Yeah, one is in Malibu. It's actually overlooks all of Cross Creek. It's a Tuscan style.
Beautiful.
And then I built the house that I'm in now, which is Jai House, which is a modern house in the mountains. So, and everybody would say to me, oh, aren't you stressed out? And I was like, no, it's just one house.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was compared to like 1,000 sleeves that are being sewn on the wrong, the wrong side.
One dye project goes wrong. I mean, that's so much money.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're like, it's just floors and some walls.
Yeah,
it's so
right.
much easier.
Exactly. Just one concrete pour. Everyone relax.
I can handle this.
Yeah.
And at this point, because you're remarried.
I've been married 3 times.
Oh, okay. I can't wait to get into all that because you're going to be an expander.
I'm an expert at relationships.
Yes.
I'm also an expert wedding planner.
Oh, I can't. Yeah. I can't wait to hear.
Actually been married 4 times because Rich and I renewed our vows a few years ago. So yeah, it's kind of crazy. I chose to experience this human relationship. And so I've had completely different mirrors of that it's been very, very expansive, very enlightening.
Keep on this and then we're going to go
So the fashion company, so then that goes and I build the 2 houses. At that point, my second marriage came to completion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went out on my own and built Jai House really on my own. I was dating Rich during the process, but it was mine.
How great did that feel? Because this is my house.
It felt really amazing, and it was really important to me that I did it all
as a woman.
Yeah, it was because I had that sort of profile of the man like hovering over mm-hmm. me, and the boy's father was a very successful businessman, and kind of at the end, it was interesting because we went to this party and it was in the real estate community, and every woman in the room was wearing my line.
Wow.
But it was the completion of our relationship because he was a rescuer and I was done needing to be rescued.
Yeah,
and so it just, and then that dynamic didn't work anymore.
Absolutely.
Although it was lovely. Yeah. He was a lovely, lovely person to be rescued by at that moment. I really needed it.
Some people, I've been with the rescuer before and it was so healing.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful.
No, I needed it. I mean, he truly saved my life in a way and also nurtured my creativity. Mm-hmm. And then I grew up.
Yeah.
And then
you arrived.
Yeah. Then
you became.
A woman.
Like a full woman.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
And then how did you get into the spiritual? Everything. It's so deep.
Kind of always was. You know, I was one of these people that just some of my most expansive experiences were when I was a baby or even I have this memory of being in the crib aware, waiting for someone to get me out. Like it was so, my childhood was a lot of waiting because I just knew that I had to get to a certain place to then get out. I had so much to do. But I also have this really beautiful memory that I love about my life. And that's that when I was 6, it was my first kiss. And it was 6, you know, I started early.
Yeah, I love that. Mine was like 8th grade.
So,
I love that.
But I was in this field of flowers in front of our house in the mountains in Colorado. And there was a boy that was in the field with me. And I remember spontaneously kissing him, like this love.
Such a cancer.
Yeah, love from the heart,
wow.
Like welling up and then kissing this boy. And it was the most pure, natural, loving, high vibrational feeling,
wow.
Like with yellow, like wild flowers. And then the next day we got on the bus and we were feeling this beautiful experience. And the children started to tease us and started to point it out. And this boy had been in a car accident and had scars all over his face.
Wow.
And he had a twin who had not been hurt. And I remember that I didn't even see that.
Wow.
I didn't even see that he, you know, had been hurt, that he didn't physically look,
what
you know,
society deems.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And so that's a super beautiful, pure love that I think I'm cultivating again now in my life. I think this is a super interesting question or quest that we have in front of us with the arrival of the Me Too mm-hmm. movement and some calling out that is so long overdue, and also the ability to own our power as universal creators mm-hmm. and understand that to transform this, it's about embracing the masculine and learning to love and interact in this way mm-hmm. to transcend.
It's the only way to pull our power back.
Yeah. So, because it's not that, listen, I have my story. Like, yeah. It's interesting. I was driving downtown because I live downtown half the time with one of my daughters now.
Oh,
Rich
wow.
and I switch
wow.
because she got into art school east of downtown. Yeah. She's 14.
Oh, so wow. That's incredible.
And we have another daughter who's 11.
And she's in Malibu?
And she's in Malibu
so
with Rich. So we switch and then we have a date on Saturday.
How cool is that?
It's pretty crazy. Crazy,
but, yeah. but it's working.
But we're making it work. Yeah. We're figuring it out. But I stopped the car yesterday and took a picture of the building that I worked in when I worked for Shelley Siegel. And at that time, my boss, who was the owner of a $400 million company, mm-hmm. came in and locked me in mm-hmm. the showroom and sexually harassed me. Mm-hmm. And I was on the phone with a colleague and said, if I hang up the phone, call the police. And I just went crazy on him.
Good job.
I went like a grizzly bear on
wow.
him. And I was so annoyed because I knew his wife. I knew yeah. his six kids. He would come up with the rabbi in the elevator. Mm-hmm. And I was really annoyed at the inconsistency yeah. of that. And I made my own way because I never thought, oh, he's going to fire me. Or like, I just didn't think that. Mm-hmm. I just was like, you know?
I'm the same, yeah.
So,
I have mine too.
You had yours.
But I do believe in what you're saying, mm-hmm. like embracing the masculine, mm-hmm. healing the masculine
yeah.
in order to
mm-hmm.
actually have a full empowerment.
Well, I mean, we've all been playing this illusion. You know, I have a quote. I'm launching a rebrand next week, actually, on the 20th. And one of the quotes is that, you know, human romance is a wonderful illusion
mm-hmm.
that provides us the opportunity to understand not this.
Oh yeah,
it's
the
not
truth.
This.
Yeah, yeah.
So, so again, it's like the men on planet Earth have been also playing this illusion.
Totally.
Like it's the whole thing's been screwed
oh,
up.
Oh, it's
all
the
all
Matrix.
A mess.
Yeah.
It's just all a mess.
Yeah.
But the thing is that for the first time, I'm starting to tap into a divine vibration sexually,
mm-hmm.
which is created by sound and by some energetic experience that I think we're going to step into. And
wow.
so this little image that I just shared with you about that child, that was not coming from sexuality.
No.
It was coming from heart.
Pure love.
Heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll use that to draw upon.
I love
maybe
it.
Maybe somebody else will. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And so for you too, well, let's go into, I want to hear the relationship trajectory. And
yeah.
at this point, my whole community is going to be like, what's her sun sign and what's her human design? And
okay.
so you're a sun Cancer.
I'm a sun Cancer, both in Vedic and in Western. And my rising is Scorpio. My moon is Pisces.
Whew. There's so much like creativity, sexuality. Like there's just so much design, the eye, like
yeah,
so much is
everything.
Going on there.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And my human design is I'm a generator.
Right.
And my profile is a heretic martyr.
Wow.
So and I'm split. So there's
wow.
two of me, Srimati
wow.
and Julie.
Wow.
It's very...
It's amazing that you're embodying the whole thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the thing for human design, and this is, I really, really love it, mm-hmm. is that... I wanted to mention the founder's name. Do you remember his name?
Rui
or something like that.
Jenna, my reader, always tells
Please,
me.
Please, I just want to
yeah.
give him credit.
I know.
Yeah.
I always forget it. His dog's name was Barley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then we know.
Good.
We'll give Barley the credit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this very magnificent being channeled this in. And, mm-hmm. and I think it was very useful. I know a lot of things about myself. Obviously, I'm already in touch with many things. But it gave me some validation, some fine tuning in some
That's
areas that have been amazing.
Yeah. That make you go, I have the licensing to really
yeah.
be myself. That's
yeah, yeah,
how
yeah.
I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I had this thing where, I manifest, 29 things at one time,
mm-hmm.
but the way that I work is many short-term activities.
Oh, so like the small steps
the small,
that lead up to
so,
the big.
But normally like I could have a thought pattern that might come in and say, you need to sit down with this for 8 hours, but that's just not how I work.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm just
You're
rock
so
and flowing,
oh,
you
I
know,
love
just,
it.
Oh, let's do this. So it's kind of like that. Okay, so let's see. So during the time when I was building my house, so after I was a fashion designer, I then went into interior design because it was easy.
Wow.
And I created these yoga retreats. I think I was one of the first people to do a luxury yoga retreat.
Thank God.
And I was invited to this villa in Italy, which is the villa we go to
That's
today.
Still the
so
one.
Literally, I have like 18 years of energetic imprint of being at this farm.
And where is it at? In
it's
Italy?
In between Siena and Florence.
Wow.
And it's on like 200 acres. And the brothers who own it are Giovanni and Francesco Toscano. And they are like my brothers. I mean, I've just known them for years and years, and it's a beautiful place. But when I went there, I had just discovered yoga this lifetime. And I was like, we got to come here. We have to come back. Mm-hmm. And so I've been going there since 1996.
Wow.
And it's just been an extraordinary experience. So by doing that, the brothers found me this company in Firenze who did Italian finishes. And they contacted me. I think I was buying a couch or something at the time. I just finished building Jai. And they said, would you be our U.S. agent? So I worked for them very closely with my architect at Jai. His name is Lorcan O'Herlihy. He's a very famous architect who's going to be one of
the greats.
You know, the greats of this time in modern architecture. And Lorcan, then after we completed Jai, I did all the kitchens and bathrooms in the Schindler house.
Wow.
So I did that with him. And I had my partner, Davide Santiccioli in Firenze. And it was just this amazing experience working with the Italian teams because they're impeccable.
With skill. I mean, anytime I'm in Florence, what's that the woolery place there that has I still have the slippers because Max's stepsister lives in Florence.
Oh.
She's an artist there. And so she shows us the things that like nobody sees on the other side of the bank.
That's really cool. I'm not familiar with that.
It's a beautiful woolery.
Tell me because I'm
there.
Going in a couple of months.
Best kept secret.
No, but I had this whole thing in my mind, you know, that people say, oh, Italians, you know, they don't like to work or whatever. And it's like, I have to just say Davide like was the antithesis of any of those stereotypes. He was impeccable. He was like Gregory Peck, the Gregory Peck of Italian design.
Oh, I can't even.
And even a client would get like miffed and he would just be like, no, you love our product. It's the best. You
know, it's like, amazing.
Yeah, and then they would just be like, okay. I mean, but really it is the best.
It is
and
their quality.
Just what they work with and their care and the love. And of course, I love Italians. I just love the culture.
That's Do you feel like that was something in a past life?
Oh, completely. Yeah. I mean, there's no... Well, what we have to talk about is Dom and her.
Oh, yeah. we have so much.
we have to do a part
two. A couple of episodes.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. So then I was doing interior design. But see, even in my fashion company, I was mentoring my salespeople with this... You know, I think I had like Deepak Chopra's like, you know, 7 Laws to Spiritual Success or whatever that book is. And I really was into the believing, the creating, you know, I had these like little silver pins that said, believe on them, like believe the vision, believe what we're doing. So I was always very into it. And if I look back at my journals, I was always, always, always looking for the spiritual energy in every single thing in life. And what I found out in my human design is that I'm a mutator.
Oh, wow.
So everything that I touch is for transformation. It's for a mutation. So my music, it's to hit a certain chord that for someone might make them cry. It might open something. So it's all, everything that I teach and share is only my personal experience.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm not here to tell anybody how to live their life. I'm in an exploration of this life.
Amazing. Yeah. How freeing is that?
It's
too?
Very freeing.
It's so liberating. it's like really not as exhausting anymore.
Yeah. It's really
That's
great.
Incredible.
So during this time, I was practicing yoga in West LA and Rich was in the same room, my current husband. And I found out like a year later that he had told everybody, I'm going to marry that girl.
Wow.
And they were like, dude, you're not going to marry her because she's married and has 2 kids.
Wow.
And he would say, well, that's just wrong. You know, that just can't be right. So a year later, my relationship had come to completion. And I would bring my little boys in there, the ones that live down the street from you now, that are 24 and 23.
Mel says
they're amazing. I will say they are amazing. Wow. If you meet my boys, you will remember them.
Oh, yeah, what are their signs?
Well, Tyler's a Pisces, mm-hmm. birthday next week, 24 years old.
Wow.
And Trapper is a Leo, and they're both born on the 18th.
Wow. So they're the midpoints of each of them. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and they're in a band together with their nephew, Harry, who I also raised for 7 or 8 years. He lived with us.
Wow.
So we were all four in a band together when they were little boys.
Oh my gosh.
And we recorded two albums together that are my two albums, Mother of Mine and Jai Home.
Oh.
Tyler arranged and produced all of those.
How
and we all
amazing.
Played everything. And that was an experience that just life, I mean, talk about being kissed by life. Like, forget it. It was just amazing.
Well, like your mom too, you really created your own family and experience.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode that I hope you're finding very expanding to tell you about a special offer that you won't find anywhere else but here. So with the code JOURNEY, that's capital JOURNEY, simply put that in order to receive your first month off free for the pathway or 10% off any of the a la carte. And once you're in the pathway, there's a suggestion of exactly what you should follow, starting with the formula and magnetism workshop, moving into reparent and shadow, and then you'll move through if you're calling in a career opulence, you'll move through partnership if you're calling that in, and of course, everybody should be doing the daily reprogramming exercise. The beautiful thing about the pathway as well is that you will have access to the Facebook group, which is the like-minded community you've probably been manifesting, and it gives you access to all of the Unblock villages that are meeting up around the world. So you'll be able to find one in hopefully your neighborhood, and you get full access to my class, which is twice a month called Supported, where you can write in any question you're having about your manifestation process or manifestation in order to have me answer your question. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
So then you got into spirituality. I want to hear the trajectory of relationships. I think that's uber expansive for the woman out there who's like, I'll never meet the person. There's so many in our group, you know, that are going through their own blocks. But for you to have experienced this deep experience three times
I think it's
children.
Well, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't all manifesting the perfect person. I mean, the first relationship that I had was an abusive karmic hell, quite frankly. And it went on for 7 years. It was a pattern that I was trying to clear. And I consider it a part of my mastery now.
Wow. What was that? What? How old were you at that time?
I was 23 when I met him. So very young.
Yeah.
And also this was the hook that got me in was that I was a shadow musician.
Wow.
So I have been a singer since I was six, since that time when I kissed that little boy in the field. But then I didn't do it. And I think I didn't do it because I was waiting to do it with my sons.
Wow.
But so I waited my whole life. I did everything else creative. I've written scripts, sculpt, paint, fashion design, interior design, like whatever.
Yeah.
I do whatever.
Yeah.
Not sing myself. Mm-hmm. Then I'm in my 40s. I developed the cyst in the front of my throat.
Huge. Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And during the same time, I was going through a breakup with a guru. I was heartbroken. And I started getting up in the middle of the night because I was so traumatized to release this hardness in my heart. Started playing on a harmonium that's connected to Yogananda.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly the songs just started writing. I was just grabbing paper, putting marks, and just like I wrote it like a child with no technique, no technical skill whatsoever. And then on this one beautiful evening, as I was playing in the middle of the night, all of a sudden I heard a strum of a guitar. And there was a full moon, and I opened my eyes, and my son Tyler had gotten out of bed, and he was sitting in the just sitting there.
I want to cry.
It was just that experience was like such a blessing.
Oh my
But what
gosh.
I didn't know is that it was a window into the next 7 years of my life with my kids.
Wow.
And we were going through financial collapse, completely in the dismantling, but we were creating music and it was full.
Oh my
God. It was
an
amazing, amazing experience.
And for you, when you say you were going through financial collapse, how did you navigate that time as a spiritual person?
That's a whole nother thing that I could. Well, again,
for the person who's like broke, down and out right now.
Right. So the thing is that for me, I am devoted to living my heart, right? As the exploration of this life that is living through me, what I have come to find through my devotion, through my experiences, is that the universe knows your heart better than you know it mm-hmm. yourself. Mm-hmm. And so by entering into this communion with it, Rich was going through a dismantling and transformation. And I knew the way through was through the heart. But the mind would tell you the way through is to go get a job. Mm-hmm. You got to get a job. You got to,
Be safe. Do what society says.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I'm not going to say that it was easy. I'm going to say that it kicked our ass.
Mm-hmm. You guys were together at the time.
Yeah, we were together. We had two of our own kids and two of my kids and then my nephew living with us. Wow. So five children, two adults, both going through dismantling. It was as if, you know, energetic resonance attaches. You know, like finds like.
Yeah.
Well, I gave birth to my fourth child and her vibration at the time was a very new vibration. And so what it did is it repelled. We were getting a spiritual upgrade, but it was throwing everything else away from us.
It wasn't working anymore, man. So she's a whole thing. Wow.
She's a whole thing who you would never know.
That's the one that you guys live for downtown.
No, it's a littler one.
The Malibu one.
Yeah, yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Littler one.
Yeah, when she came, it was like, nope. Not,
no, I mean,
nothing
literally, like we had things just like nothing would stick to us.
Wow.
So the other thing is that I knew this was happening, but it's not something you can tell somebody.
Or your child.
You know? No, or your child. And so we could have sent out thousands of resumes. We were not getting a job. Mm. That was not happening.
Wow.
And you could feel it.
Because, what were you doing for work at that time or prior to that?
Well, I was in interior design. Mm-hmm. And then I got, this is very important, I got a very clear message that said, stop. You must stop interior design now.
Mm.
If you don't, you will be... there will be karmic consequences. Oof. Like lawsuits.
Yeah.
And there was a client that turned into the Antichrist, literally. No, I shouldn't use it, but it, seriously, yeah. It was really intense. And the weird thing is, and she played a beautiful role and I love her.
Oh, I'm That's so grateful that, for all that
yeah,
stuff. Yeah.
But the thing was, is that she had been sort of the ideal client. Like everything was amazing and I loved everything. And literally the day Jaya was born, it was the exact opposite.
Wow.
I mean, just so unsettling. And I was trying to nurse and I could feel the energy. So Rich had to wrap that up for me, which was interesting because I never in my whole life. So anyway, I got the clear message. I cannot work in this way.
Yeah.
So for the first time, I was either 42 or 45. I'm not very good with time. So
when
I was
your last baby,
yeah, I was in
amazing.
My 40s.
Wow.
In my 40s. So
that's an expander to everybody listening alone. That's incredible, man.
That's cool. And I had had a child previously, so that makes it easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just important to know. Yeah. But I had done 29 things since I was 12. I was manifesting since I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly the universe tells me, you are supposed to sit down
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And what I told my family was I have four children and so I just need to focus on this because mm-hmm. that was what they could understand.
Yeah, yeah,
a
yeah.
Little.
Totally.
But what was really happening is I knew we were going through the spiritual alchemical process
mm-hmm.
and that we were being prepared to be a sort of light or a sort of example of
world.
Something mm-hmm. in the world. And that until we did this, we could not serve in authenticity.
Totally.
We had some really good ideas. Like if you look back, I had a website with like a lifestyle, Jaya lifestyle, Jaya yoga, you know, but I call it like those of us that haven't really embodied or gone
in the
through
closet
the
closet or like,
well,
still,
it's like
yeah.
a Derek Zoolander, like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, I want to do a school for kids who can't read good. Well,
yeah.
not, yeah, it's okay, but yeah. you're not really there.
Yeah.
So this was that process. Now, did I know it was going to be 7 years with a year ramp down and a year ramp up? No, I didn't know it was going to be that long.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had, I would have had a lot, probably would have been a lot harder for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the
oh,
time.
Oh yeah, you would have been like, I don't know if I can handle
yeah, I
that.
I can do
yeah,
it, right?
Totally.
But again, the music was working for me. And that's what I mean. This music, those two albums that we recorded, it literally saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
It kept me on the planet.
It medicine.
Kept me here. And then Rich, his training is what he was supposed to do. So
mm-hmm.
I was telling my husband, you train first, you see to me and the children second.
Mm-hmm.
And if a law job falls at your feet,
mm-hmm.
you service it with no emotional attachment.
Because he was a lawyer.
He hated being a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Like when you meet Rich, he's so creative, mm-hmm. so sensitive, hates confrontation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like...
What's his human design?
He's also a generator.
Wow.
Yeah, and no he's an investigator.
Wow.
Of course.
Oh my
god. All the lawyers in my family, yeah. by the way, are investigator wow. profiles. Quite interesting, right?
I mean, no, it just makes perfect sense.
It makes sense. Yeah. I'm telling you guys, got to check it out. So what I would say is, this is another quote that is actually going up this month. If you can embrace your dismantling as a warrior experience, it's like a test. Mm-hmm. So you're like a Jedi warrior, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at a Jedi warrior, they're not losing their shit, mm-hmm. are they?
No. Nope.
No, they're not emotional. Mm-hmm. They're not freaking out. They're not going into the future. They're not going into the past. They're like in the moment, mm-hmm. right? But the other thing is to understand that as these experiences that you're attracting into your life, you're calling it in.
Totally.
It's your higher self that's giving you this opportunity. Yeah. And I always say that if you're really, really blessed, you'll be dismantled at least once in your life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because,
yeah.
You know, that's the beauty.
Totally.
But what I would say is if you can accept it as a warrior training and you can lessen your moments of emotional disturbance as a result of what is happening to you, the test will dissolve mm-hmm. and you go beyond it. Mm-hmm. So you take, your electricity gets turned off. Mm-hmm. That happened to us a lot.
Oh, yeah.
The time. So rather than go into constriction and, you know, the freak out, if you can lessen that and just take a different perspective. Mm-hmm. There's many perspectives you can take. Mm-hmm. We're going to snuggle in bed tonight as friends.
With candles.
With candles, right. Yeah. We're going to use this as a really fun experience. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was a really amazing experience, it was my daughter's 6th birthday and I had no money. And I would survey the energy and allow it to flow, right? So Mathis, her older sister, said, you know, it's Joy's birthday. I said, yeah, you know, I know. I said, I think we're probably going to celebrate it next week. Mm-hmm. And Mathis looked at me, she's like, it's her birthday today. Mm-hmm. And I was like, right. So I went in my closet and got up in the cupboard and got some objects that I had that I thought might be of value. And Mathis and I went to the pawn shop. Mm-hmm. And I went to the pawn shop and like they did the thing and they tested what I had. And I left there 5 minutes later with $630. Mm-hmm. And Mathis was like, oh, I'm so relieved. She goes, I thought we were going to have to sit there all day till somebody bought the stuff.
Oh, that's so funny. Like you guys were going to wait for a customer to walk in.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
But then, and I mean, you know, whatever I sold, you know, from that I had in there, you know, I got ripped off, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know?
Always,
right.
Yes,
but
yeah.
I had the money, you know, we were able to go get food. We made a beautiful train cake. We invited Jai and all of her toys. And it was just us. It was just her brothers, her cousin, Rich, me. We had the most amazing birthday that day. It was so sweet. It was so connected and so pure. Mm. And then many other times, like over the holidays, we celebrate Christmas. We would go in teams and we were only allowed to spend $20 mm-hmm. and you had to create something for the other team.
Cool.
So this one year, my son wrote and starred in like a short film mm-hmm. that was a spoof on spirituality. And mm-hmm. he was making fun and spoofing all the gurus that had been to our house. And, you know, we woke up on Christmas morning and sat everybody around with hot chocolate and played that.
Aww.
And I have to tell you, I miss those days because they were super meaningful mm-hmm. and super connected. So again, it's all perspective. It's what perspective do you want to take about what's happening to you? Mm-hmm. And as a warrior, as a transformer, as a way shower, we have to choose a different perspective and don't let anyone else define what your experience is. Mm-hmm. So I would often say, I'm not a loser. I'm in my sacred moment. Mm-hmm. I'm in my alchemy. Mm-hmm. I'm in a PowerPoint.
I love it.
And it took me a while, but I have been verified.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so true. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny in manifestation, like the way that I read energetics. We put a course out actually right before Christmas because I could tell so many people were in rock bottoms. I had gone through one. And when I tell people like why that's happening with the universe, it's because you've been calling in something that's totally orbiting around you, but your self-worth and your expansion's just not there yet. So you're literally getting like rock bottomed out of the nest to be like, get, like you're saying, you yes. had your vibration had to get up there yeah. to mm-hmm. be where you guys are now yes. and where you had to go. And it's like, you may not have done it quick enough.
Or like, no, and on the your thing own. Is too, is that if I had been on my own, I wouldn't, my trajectory would have been much quicker,
totally.
But I was holding for all these people,
I know.
You know, my tribe,
yeah, yeah.
you know, my inner tribe.
Totally.
So yeah. So what I will tell you guys is the energetic field right now is much quicker.
I think so too.
So you will not be in a 9 year or mm-hmm. a 7 year.
Okay, they even say so, that with human design.
Really?
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. Jenna tells me we're hitting into this paradigm that mm-hmm. like you're going to think and manifest. It's going to get mm-hmm. so quick mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. you know. That
but I would
portal.
Say also, you know, and this is maybe my experience is be careful what you wish for.
I think so too.
You know, it's so hard to know.
What you really want.
Which is, this is where the devotional piece comes in for me. So my manifestation, my style is a devotional style, mm-hmm. which allows me to be unattached and released from what I'm calling in, because the universe knows your heart better than mm-hmm. you know it yourself.
I love that.
And if you write it all, or you try to grab it, or you try to, you know, create your life, and you're just like, this is how it's going to be, mm-hmm. you may miss some of the most beautiful moments that mm-hmm. are waiting.
Like you guys went through in that yeah. time that was so stunning and mm-hmm. so beautiful and such a connection.
Well, and after we came out of it, I mean, Rich becoming, you know, a plant-based ultra endurance athlete was not even anywhere, like we didn't even see that mm-hmm. anywhere. And I didn't even see that I would be creating food or creating a cheese technology that I'm now launching into an actual, you know, in-store brand.
Wow.
Like that wasn't even there.
What did you guys think during that moment? Like of you could say darkness or rock bottom or, you know, what did you guys envision this would look like now?
I just knew that the heart would not fail us.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we knew.
Beautiful.
I didn't know if that meant that we were going to be together or, I mean, we were, it was in our case, this intensity drew us closer together.
Mm-hmm.
We bonded together, all the whole family very together. I would say, I didn't know, I would say I had to offer my life on the altar many times mm-hmm. over and over and over again
mm-hmm.
as a reverence to this experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really know. I know that we, you know, we broke down like, you know, many times, like in public, like just the friction,
mm-hmm.
the scraping, the energetic scraping of how much can one person take.
Totally.
You know, and I wrote that song In the Sun, which is on Mother of Mine, I think. And it's a love song that I wrote for Rich, which is speaking about this financial constriction that is placed on us, and also more so on men.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
of expecting, and it's really violent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very violent thing to put on a being
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that their self-worth is yeah. determined
and takes away their freedom and
their freedom to just be who mm-hmm. they are, creative, and their ability to be more loving mm-hmm. or more compassionate or more supportive or all these things. So
I love that you guys went through that. So
yeah.
magical.
Yeah.
And yeah, because the person looking from the outside could be like, they live in Malibu.
Oh, yeah.
He was a lawyer. Look at all the stuff that, you know, and it's like, this
right.
is so beautiful to
well,
know.
And people think instantly that, you know, again, it's like the house was mine. The mm-hmm. house is mine. Mm-hmm. It was built with my money, you know, my experience. And also, we were really blessed. I mean, if you look at it, like Saul Ray, a really good friend of mine, came and he was like, Srimati, what a beautiful place to be in poverty. But it was true. I mean, so we were blessed. And I did learn that, like, even if I was down to literally the last potato, we still had that potato, and then something would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like something would happen. And we had to learn to receive as well.
Mm.
And that's something that's not really done in our culture. It's like, it's a shame,
mm-hmm.
right? And people get very entitled about, well, I pay my bills,
mm-hmm.
or I, you know, I'm like, you know. And really, when you see somebody that's in that struggle, they just need, they need help to get through it. Mm-hmm. If they're a worthy human being, and every human life is worthy. Yeah. I have somebody who I'm, you know, mentoring through this, you know, and the thing is that we need to learn to receive. And I had, you know, dear friends, dear friend, Ram, who one holiday just left a golden velvet pouch on my step with $3,000
in
it.
Wow.
You know, I had my other friend, Tamara, you know, at another point, you know, hand me thousands of dollars and just be like, don't ever speak about it again. Mm. Don't ever.
No strings attached.
Yeah, this is not, this is never to be spoken of, you know. And that kind of generosity, this is the type of generosity that exists in humanity. Mm-hmm. And we live in a culture where the news is always talking about, not talking about these things. And the truth of the matter is, if somebody in your life is struggling, the only thing that I ever wanted anybody to say to me was that I believe in you.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And as a culture, what we do is we go in and we're like, you're not doing this, or you should
How
be
do you
doing
fix
this,
it?
Or why aren't you more like this person? And so that's why I say at the end of my podcast that even if no one else believes in you, that I believe in you to find your way into living your best, most expansive life. Because how could it be otherwise? Mm-hmm. You are an emanation of God.
Totally. So, that's why you're in a physical form.
And if you talk about a Christ view of holding somebody, that's a Christ, meaning Christ, the Christic, the K-R-Y-S-T, the Christic beings that we are. You need to hold that vibration for somebody until they can vibrate into it.
Yeah, I call it vision holding.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
You have to be a vision holder to show them, reflect back to them. That's so, so beautiful. And so I have to share with the community, which I was telling you about prior to this, I was doing a DI recent life. That's what, you know, with
okay,
our
I'm going to get into the lingo. So yeah. I don't know.
And so we have a daily reprogramming exercise through hypnosis that people do. And there's one in there. I think it might be the prosperity one or health one or something. But I was doing it recently, and in it, you kind of take like your day that you would love, that would be your absolute like soul purpose day. And then once you have that energy, you sit it around, you know, these like a campfire on all of these stones or steps or whatever you're on. And you bring what I call your expanders, the people you see to believe, your subconscious believes potentially lives out days like this. And you were one, Eckhart Tolle was one.
Yay, I'm so honored.
I forget who else was in it, but I was like, I really have to have her on because there are things I can learn from her about where I'm going. And so where my soul is really being called to is to live in nature and to have a family and obviously do the work that I'm doing on the scale that I'm doing it, but in a much more, like you're saying, devotional, truthful to my own design and type and the life I want to live. And so I was so excited to have you on this. And just while I was speaking about that, what might have come to mind that you can share with us to expand us about how you live life to stay in that space?
Well, again, I mean, I think I've already talked about it. It is that devotion. And it's interesting because I've gone through a couple rebirths in the last 9 months. And I basically went off social media virtually after the Italy retreat last May. And I had this overwhelming awareness that there is an energetic dump of energy that's being put out all over. And I was very aware of its presence. And I had this very visceral need to be curated, to be on purpose, to understand why. And I always have been in my brand, but it was, you know, I've been in this role of, you know, Rich's wife, and, you know, Rich is more known than I am. Mm-hmm. And I did food because I'm good at it, but it's just one tiny sliver of what I do. Like that's not, you know, so I hadn't really embodied me free of relationship, free of children, free of anybody else's. I wasn't carrying anybody else along with me. I even left my yoga practice because even that was a system. I needed to leave all systems.
Detached to really see who you are.
So I left all systems. I left anything outside of me and just went in. And I started this spontaneous movement. So I've been training in Pilates and dancing, spontaneous movement, and exploring these rhythms that pulse through the body at different ways. And I've been very free and it's been amazing. And I'm physically, I've had no headaches for the first time in my entire life. And I'm feeling the power of what it means to be embodied in me. And then 2 weeks ago, Yogananda came to me and he was with me for 2 days. And he came back. I am a yogi lineage many, many lifetimes, many, many, like 22 different incarnations in that lineage. And he came around my friend to remind me of the devotion piece, because that is the core foundational element that is the power inside the manifestation. And so the ability to cultivate that awareness brings surrender, humility, a heart merging, and an expansion into realms you would never have imagined for. Mm-hmm. So it allows the portal for the miraculous to enter. Mm. And so in that frame, the manifestation is a softness. It's a creativity. It's a flow. And it's a softness. It's loving. It's compassionate. It's expansive. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. That's what I
love.
That's
that
what
you
I
shared
would
that.
Offer.
It's very powerful. Yeah. I love that. And as a mother of four who has gone on this incredibly unique and independent path, especially like what some would consider their darkest moments, what advice would you have to impart onto us? Because I really believe in allowing them to unfold and show their authenticity. Mm-hmm. What would be what you would say as a mother to any other mothers out there or people looking to be parents?
Well, I would say, first of all, I trust mothers and fathers. I trust the love they have for their children. And so I want to say that first. Secondly, I would say the single most powerful energetic with my children that created so much beauty in my relationship is that I always knew that they were magnificent beings that had lived thousands of lifetimes, maybe in this system, maybe not in this system. Mm-hmm. But I never felt them beneath me ever, or felt this entitlement, like, I'm going to teach you, you know, how life is. You know, it's like they came in and we're in this dance together. Mm-hmm. And many times my kids would be like, you're completely wrong. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I am. You know, like, I think a full intimate experience like that, and also to be able to be human. So I think as parents, we have this idea, like, I'm going to be a parent, I'm going to be a perfect parent, and I'm going to be perfect, and I'm going to project this perfect lens to my child so that she knows her parent is perfect. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that is that the child would begin to feel their humanity, which is not perfect, and it creates a resistance and a block to intimacy. And they also may not tell you, they probably won't tell you anyway, but it's more likely that they're not going to tell you anything because they're never going to want to disappoint you. Mm. Because a child will never want to disappoint a parent. And the third thing that I would say, I don't know if that's three, but maybe it's three. The third thing I would say is, as parents, we must take responsibility to clear, transform, and heal our own imbalances. Mm-hmm. And so what we do as parents is we have pains and traumas, and then we say, well, my child is going to never experience this, which is another way of saying, my child is going to heal my shit for me. Mm. And what I'm saying is that your child is a unique being. And yes, there are ancestral things that come in, and we come in with agreements. So yes, okay, there could be some of that. But please honor yourself and honor your child by allowing them to have their own unique experience. And if you have traumas, then deal with them. Mm-hmm. Go find help. Go figure it out. And I found this in education because one of my manifestations that I'm launching, maybe I'll come back and talk to you at another time, is a homeschool model called Jai Seed. And Jai was the name of my entire company. It means victory or praise or hail in Sanskrit. And it's to the seed, which is a multidimensional meaning. But I have a book that I wrote in 2014, which I pulled out of my closet about a month ago, and an editor went through it. It's 260 pages of my experience of unschooling my children and that experience during our life. And so what I would say is understand that these children are more precious than any creative expression. Like they are the beauty of our life, and find new ways to create a new way of educating. The good news is many of them are not going to accept, they will not tolerate the old structures.
Oh, especially the ones coming through now.
Yeah.
There's
so
no way.
My third just basically kicked my butt totally.
Mm, yeah.
So they're requiring us to listen and to understand that the education system is outdated, and these new energetics, they don't fit in that. And they are the ones that are carrying the messages and the gifts that are quantum, that will transform our life and our experience. And we need to make sure that we nurture their expansion mm-hmm. and their uniqueness the way that they are.
Absolutely. So well said. Yeah. I love it. All of it's amazing. And then we have to touch on relationships, because you have been through them. Mm-hmm. You do consider yourself, you've done a lot of work, and you said mastery. Give us your thoughts on that for us who are in long-term relationships or seeking relationships, or maybe going to transition out of one that's not serving us anymore.
Well, I think there is an exciting potential possibility that's in the field now that has never been, and that's to actually experience a relationship that would be more expanded beyond the false prince-princess paradigm mm-hmm. that we're seeing exploding right now. So I'm going to say, yay, awesome
yeah,
for
yeah,
you
yeah,
guys.
Totally.
You know, that's great. And what I would say is that whenever we feel that completion is going to come in the other, we're in illusion. Mm-hmm. So every single experience in your life can be addressed by turning the magnifying glass inside your own
being.
Always. So whether it was me being in an abusive relationship, and it was very hard because I was very hurt, and I had a lot of trauma, and I am not a violent person, and I am, well, let me say, I do have a capacity for violence in me, but mm-hmm. I wasn't the one that was living that reality. I had a hard time getting to the lens of understanding that I played a part in that. And so it wasn't until I was able to take responsibility for my participation in the relationship. I allowed myself to be in that relationship by not being able to stand for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was able to take that responsibility, I was able to transcend
yeah.
and clear and arrive at a place of expansion. I'm not condoning what happened,
mm-hmm.
but that staying in that suffering is not going to free you.
I love that. Taking accountability in order to get your power back.
Yeah.
That's how we have to do it. It's the only way when you're at those depths.
Unless you just want to stay in the suffering,
yeah.
which that's not our role.
Yeah.
You know?
Or, you know, that might just be what you need to learn in the lessons right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. And I would say, yeah, I would say that, you know, in the end, it's a solo journey. You're born alone and you die alone.
I say it all the time.
Right. Yeah. So when I'm having challenges in my relationship, I work on myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge fan of couples therapy. In my experience, it's a step that maybe can be transcended by just making the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me go in and fill myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you fill yourself, you become more embodied. And then if you want to dance with somebody, you can, but you don't require it. And there's not this sort of pull, push and pull, or tug of energies between two people.
I love that. And because how long have you and Rich been together now?
I think 18 years, maybe 19 years.
And you've gone through some pretty ups and downs. What would
yeah.
you credit the success of you guys still being together, now working together? Like, what is that?
Well, we don't really work together. We speak together. So yeah, we can do a project together and we're great in
mm-hmm.
that. But on a day-to-day, like, no.
Mm-hmm.
What would I credit that to? I think it was the divine plan,
mm-hmm.
quite honestly. I can't say that I had a vision for this level of experience, of a relationship with him. I didn't see it at
mm-hmm.
the beginning. I recognize him from a past life. I
mm-hmm.
knew that I'd known him before. I think we've wanted to work together for many lifetimes, and this is the one that we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are those elements. And I would say that his ability to look at himself and my ability to look at myself, I would credit that
mm-hmm.
for the longevity, and also a deep love and admiration for each other,
Beautiful.
Celebration for each other. Yeah. I mean, it's not really like the day-to-day cadence were very different. Mm-hmm. So it's not always comfortable.
Yeah, Max and I are too.
The
so
way different. He puts his foot on the earth is polar opposite to the way I do. And, you know, and I'm coming to just love that, mm-hmm. to love it all, mm-hmm. rather than be annoyed by it.
Or in resistance of.
But, you know, he does sleep in a tent. It is
at
sort
night?
Of, oh, he's...
By himself?
Yeah.
That's the dream.
Literally.
I think that's incredible.
I need to talk about this.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, he's like a ball of explosion.
Max is too.
Right? Okay.
It's so intense.
Okay, right. Yeah. And I'm like you, like yeah. super sensitive. So he has problems sleeping. And so, you know, after I spent a couple nights like a mummy, you know, like trying not to move, like, oh God, if I move, then he's not going to sleep, yeah. you know, that kind of behavior. Yeah. So he started sleeping on the roof at our house because mm-hmm. we have a flat roof and mm-hmm. we used to with the kids and stuff, but he really likes it. So he got a tent and he slept better in the tent. And then our relationship started to
transform.
Yeah, transform. I mean, it was fine, but it was even better. And then I need my, you know, I get up at 4 a.m. spontaneously and mm-hmm. I'm doing all my stuff. And so I have these beautiful master quarters at my house, which is my sacred space. Mm-hmm. And then he sleeps on a tent in the deck outside
awesome.
His podcast container.
Oh my God, I love it.
And all my girlfriends are like, how did you manage that? They're like, maybe I could stop by REI on the way home yeah, and like pitch a tent and get him out there. So, and I mean, but literally like when we travel, we have to get two hotel rooms.
Oh yeah. That we're almost at that point too.
No.
It's so much. No. We're so different energetically,
yeah.
but we have such a common bond.
Yes.
And even, you know, what I'm discovering now, because I've just poured my heart, my soul, our finance, like our company's finances into this house in this retreat center in Yosemite. And it's like, amazing for me. It feels, and then I come back here and this is like all falling apart. It's Max's house. And so tonight we have to have a whole talk about like, I may have to rent a place in Topanga. You'll be here. You're like, and it's totally fine. We're just
yes.
finding what works
yes.
and being those opposite energies,
you know,
and embracing
it's
it.
It's interesting because my daughter said to me, I think somebody must have said something to her, but she said, you know, it's kind of weird that you and Dad don't sleep in the same room. And mm-hmm. she said, and I was like, yeah, it is. I go, but the amazing thing is that we're so in love
mm-hmm.
and we have such a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, so it is unique. I go, but can you imagine sleeping in the same room with Daddy? She's
yeah.
like, no. I'm like, well, that's kind of it. So
yeah.
yeah. And people, that's the thing is too, my parents had a very independent relationship as well. My mm-hmm. dad would go out hunting for a month at a time
wow,
and sleep on
incredible.
Glaciers. And then my mom would go to Hawaii and she'd swim and she'd
wow.
go dancing, you know,
yeah.
and people would say stuff about them all the time, but you know, they were married over 60 years and
yes.
it's the independence that makes it work.
I agree.
You know?
And I think it's so special, like you're saying, how important the autonomy of feeding yourself, doing your own work, like filling all of that up in order to be able to even cultivate a life with somebody.
Yeah, definitely.
And then honoring these, you know, quirks and differences and energetic makeups. I like, so far I'm finding it. There's times where I'm like, are we terribly weird? Like, is this so dysfunctional? But at other times I'm like, whoa, we're way more functional than most relationships I know.
It's just the way he, you know, my Rich is. Like, he was never a cuddler. You know, I can't touch him or he's completely freaking out. You
so
know?
He has a whole energetic thing.
He has
then.
A whole energetic.
Yeah.
Actually, I just recently, the hilarious thing is that I got him a gravity blanket.
Oh yeah. How's that doing?
Literally changed his life.
My dad literally just texted me that and he was like, what do you think? Should I get this
yes,
for myself?
Tell your dad yes.
You're right.
But
yeah.
we were making the joke because then Rich is like, but I'm an addict. He goes, and now it's not heavy enough. So I was like, I said, you'll get like three and then it'll be like Rich Roll suffocated.
That's going to be the price.
100 pounds of gravity blanket.
That's amazing.
No, but it works for him. And you know, it keeps things, you know, lively and,
yeah.
and energetic and all that stuff. So
I love that.
I'm super grateful for my sacred space.
Yeah, same here.
You know,
absolutely. And the
really
honoring
well.
Of a partner who honors that.
Yeah.
Like, the one thing I have to say about Max is he asks nothing of me mm-hmm. in any crazy shit I'm up to. I mean,
right.
the craziest of crazies. Like, rock on.
Right.
Go for it. I'm not doing it, but you go for
yeah,
it.
Right, exactly.
And that's great.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
me.
Yeah. yeah it's beautiful.
Well, we have to have you back. There's so much more to talk about.
Awesome.
Well, a couple of other things while you're here as
yes.
an expander for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
Bringing in your two boys, like calling in your first two babies.
Yeah.
I want to hear about that a little bit.
Well, I don't even know that I was calling them in at that point. You know, I wasn't, I was really in love with their dad. We had had an amazing 5 years of marriage together and thriving in career. I had my fashion line and he was a CFO of a big real estate company. He had 5,000 employees. I mean, wow. We were just rocking it. We were, you know, traveling all over the world and doing all kinds of interesting things. And we weren't focused on having children. And because I was the fifth kid, I never babysat. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a kid person. Mm-hmm. The fact that I ended up having 4 kids and 5 in my family, I never imagined that I would do that. Mm. So, you know, I just feel this very deep karmic connection with the two of them. Mm-hmm. We've definitely lived lifetimes before. We've been to channelers and we've learned that we invented instruments together.
Whoa.
In one lifetime. One of my sons and our grandkids married each other. We had an art studio together. Mm. So the artistic expression was there. And whenever I entered that realm with them, I didn't feel like their mother. Mm. I felt like their bandmate more. So it's been amazing. I mean, that's been amazing. But I would just say they came to me because we were connected, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. throughout time and space. And I know we'll be together again.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. And after this lifetime, it's just going to become more and more magical. It seems like really on the right track.
Yeah,
and
beautiful.
Your team, because Mel's so incredible. I mean, she's so supportive. Is your entire team as intentional?
Yes, definitely. I mean, Mel is really my main team.
Amazing.
And we met very magically. We actually have a mutual friend in Australia, Osher.
She talked about it. Oh,
she talked about Osher. So Mel had been in meditation in India and had drawn my album cover. Did she tell you that?
No.
Yeah, mother of mine. It's a pink album cover with me inside this tree and I'm pregnant with Jaya. I'm painted like a tree. And she's like, I need to show you something. And she showed me the drawing like before she ever met me.
Wow.
And she was just this girl. She was like, yeah, I want to do this event platform, and I was, you know, like, wow, and look at what she's created with Conscious City Guide. So it's amazing. Yeah, and I have to just also honor you and bow to you because you've been an expander. I use the logo for me because, you know, I've been this being, you know, who is, you know, channeling spirituality in every single thing that I do. Mm-hmm. And I do, when I do private session work, it's very profound and mm-hmm. has been very, very expansive for people, like life changing.
Wow.
And I know my music has that effect if it's the right vibration like that. So you've provided a model of how to bring that out. Yeah. And I'm launching next week on the 20th, on the solstice.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be offering this online. It's a way to know way. It's called Water Tiger.
Okay.
And it's about embodying the natural life form as if you were a life form of nature,
wow.
like an animal, you know. So it's about this spontaneous movement that I'm bringing in, about not having any system, any lineage, any corral over you.
Yeah.
And so the system is designed in movements and it's ways for beings to tap into who they are. Now mine is water tiger, uh-huh. but yours could be cheetah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, but it's starting to understand the visceral truth of who we are as life forms.
Wow.
And so my podcast forum is going to be one topic a month. And then I do a monthly call that has a healing technique. I answer all the questions.
Wow.
And so my first healing technique is this whole body awareness. And it's the thing that I spoke to before in the beginning about the yoga. But this is getting the communication with the entire body online talking to each other.
Wow.
So that we can start to even commune with organs, commune, and that we didn't get a chance to talk about that, but about the healing.
Yeah, well, let's touch on that really quick.
Okay, really
I'm
quick.
Sorry, like it was like we were at an hour a while ago, but okay. I think that's tremendously expansive for people.
Well, so it was, first of all, I mean, it's important to say I've always been a thin person mm-hmm. and food issues are not present in my family. So we have alcoholism in our family, but not food issues. So here I am living my life, you know, pretty much eating what I want and raised on gay meat, whatever. And then I started practicing yoga, and then the desire for meat and coffee and alcohol just dropped me. Mm-hmm. So that went away. And one day I just noticed I had this huge golf ball sized cyst in my neck.
You just woke up
just
one day.
It was like came on like immediately. And then I was like, wow, is that my Adam's apple? Like,
yeah, what's
I was like, well, I was like, oh my gosh. So I went and had it MRI'd, and it was a thyroglossal duct cyst, which is a rare disease in children between the ages of 8 and 12.
Whoa.
I was in my
40s.
Wow. So talk about a strange thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they could have popped it, I probably would have gone for that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No, they couldn't. They wanted to cut a cross-section out of my neck, and it was there were some delicate nerves, and like I had the head issues for mm-hmm. so long, and I was just like, this is not a good thing to do at all. So I was into yoga, and I decided to go into Ayurveda. And I actually called my friend Perry Reeves. Mm-hmm. She's an actress. She mm-hmm. was on Entourage. I don't know if you know her.
No.
But we had done a yogic practice together. And she was very, very versed in Ayurveda and had been raised on very natural living. I don't think she ever ate processed sugar, ever.
Wow.
Like, so anyway, I called her. And she had said, you know, if you're not serious, don't waste the herbs.
Yeah, yeah, don't
so
even.
So if you're
yeah.
ready. And I was like, I'm ready. Okay, I'm ready. So I worked with this doctor. Dr. Patel was his name. And he, you know, we shared this love of spirituality. And he basically just gave me one sheet of notebook paper with a pencil written diet, which was predominantly plant-based mm-hmm. with specific, very specific plants. Mm-hmm. And then these herbs. And I would just come home with like, Rich was like, what did you get? I was like, a bag of dirt. And he was just Rich
and some
was,
carrots.
Yeah, yeah, Rich was just mortified. Yeah. He was like, "You don't know what's in there." He was just like that. But I just knew it was the right path
you
for me.
You could feel it, yeah.
So I also, at the same time, started meditating in the middle of the night. That's when the songs were coming. So I started to sing.
That's
and
huge
then
for it.
I also did it. So in the beginning, I had hundreds of pus pimples on my face every morning.
Detoxifying
hundreds.
It.
I would just wipe. It was just, it was so disgusting.
Wow.
And I don't know, like, I just because I know Rich loves me so much.
Yeah.
Like, that gave me a good place.
Yeah.
But a lot of people were very upset.
They
like
were.
My family, my facialist, they were like, stop taking the herbs. I was like, no, this is coming out of my face.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with healing that I think is important to say is that we don't want to look at the ugly. We just want to take a pill and then have it go away.
Totally.
But really,
especially in our society today.
Yeah. Yeah. But to experience really a transformation, you have to look at all the ugly stuff.
You do.
And this
the
is
shadow.
In the shamanic work that I do, the multidimensional healings that I do, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that thing you've never told anyone.
Totally. The deepest
that,
shame.
Give me
shadow.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can expand.
Yeah.
Then you can be free.
Yeah.
So so that I did that, and I also did a topical paste at night, and I would have to wrap my neck. And I changed my lifestyle, you know, really was in bed by 9 o'clock. Stopped working on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he explained to me, you know, you don't design your life to receive unwanted visitors.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they show up
mm-hmm.
and you have to deal with them, but you don't set it up from there. And that was probably the first time that I realized that I was setting the tone for the universe.
Wow.
So what if we can ask ourselves, what are we accepting for ourselves?
Totally. This and community knows that. Yeah.
They know that.
Yeah,
okay,
like,
good.
Yeah, what are you what are you settling for?
Yeah, what are you settling for?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it wasn't fast. In about 4 months, 3 months, the pus stopped. And then it started to go down and I knew it. I was like, I got this.
Wow.
So, but it took another probably 9 or 10 months
until it was totally
clear and it's never come back.
Wow.
And
you stayed with Dr. Patel the whole time?
I did. Yeah. I did. I've lost touch with him. I tried to contact him quite a few times. I don't think he was interested in the exposure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
These physicians, they work, you know, very quietly mm-hmm. in their own way. And,
mm-hmm. and it's so, yeah, it sounds so sincere.
Oh, he's beautiful, like really beautiful. And I love Ayurveda, how the whole premise or foundation of Ayurveda is that the herbs support the body and the body heals itself.
Totally. So it's so beautiful.
It's a really beautiful way about it.
Well, we're so grateful you came on. Tell us where we can find you.
Yes.
How to find this course. Okay, it sounds amazing.
Yay. Yeah, it's cool. Okay. So I'm launching next week. So on Instagram is the best place to just keep up with me every day. So it's at Srimati, at S-R-I-M-A-T-I. And then I'm launching my new website with my split definition. So my new website will be juliepyatt.com. Mm. And those are really the best places. So if you go to juliepyatt.com, you can click on work with me to schedule any personal sessions and also appearances, but you can go to Water Tiger. Mm-hmm. That's the community and you can check it all out and see what's going to be offered.
And your podcast.
Oh, and my podcast. Well, that's it. Also Divine Throughline, I changed the name. So it's going to be For the Life of Me.
Ah, beautiful.
So For the Life of Me is the name of my memoir and it's For the Life of Me because everything we're experiencing is divine and I live for the life of me.
It's
this
so
is
true.
Why I'm living. So, and it was interesting too, because you changed your name.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and I was oh, she's on my same thing because I had done the same deal.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's time to keep going forward.
I know.
It's like when your daughter came, time to just go with that new vibration.
Right, and the thing is, you know, you think you're like, I don't know, and you know, some friends were like, Divine Throughline, such a great name, and I'm like, yeah, I know it is. I go, but I'm a new being now.
Yeah, so it's
and
time to
you
move.
You just keep it moving. You
I
know?
Love
keep
that.
It. But I am really, really... I feel very honored to be able to hold space in that way. And I know there's so much waiting for us that is just waiting to come in. Mm-hmm. You know, been waiting to make the container so that the information can come
in. Oh, yeah. I believe in that entirely.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for coming.
Excited.
Thank you for being an expander.
Thank you, Lacey.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to finally meet you.
You as well. I want to come do one of the multidimensional
healings. Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll be in touch now.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
lots
have a
love.
Good weekend, everybody.
Bye.
So the supported question is, how do I know if it's a test or a new path of inspiration? I've got more savings in the bank than I've had for a long time, and now I'm inspired to follow a new path that means an investment in learning. But is this my old spending pattern or a valid rabbit that needs following down the rabbit hole? Number one, I wonder if you're a manifesting generator. And number two, what I like to tell everybody who asks questions like this, Explore as much as you can within this new avenue for free. And I would do that for a few months to see if you get burnt out or lose your interest in it. A lot of us feel like we have low self-worth, that we have to go invest all of this money in training or X, Y, and Z. Of course, I'm not speaking to becoming a doctor or a lawyer or things that really require these incredible degrees. However, that many of us will mask our low self-worth by feeling like we have to go jump down every rabbit hole by training in order to feel valid enough to just put it into the world and do it. Examples for me, when I first started the blog, I knew I wanted to be in the holistic realm, but I didn't know what that looked like. So I really thought, oh, I have to go to acupuncture school and do that to be taken seriously, or I have to become a nutritionist and a therapist and all of these things, when honestly, I would have never been happy in those fields and they wouldn't have truly contributed to what I'm doing now. So what I did do, because I didn't have a savings like that, is I would go down the rabbit hole as far as I could go. I would buy every book I could for free or check them out at the library. I would do as much Googling as I could, watching as many videos, going to seminars that didn't cost a lot of money. And most often than not, I would burn out and lose interest, which would put me right back onto my track of really following my heart, but not having to have made the mistake of going into some crazy whatever program that would be really expensive and, you know, drain my finances, or I'd have to take out loans. Now, give yourself a cap on that. So maybe 3 months or 4 months down the line, you're still equally as enthusiastic about it. You still know that this is what your whole heart and soul are calling towards. Then I would start to make the plan to go to introduction, potentially do a semester, and really feel out the waters and go from there. But vet it first. And I do encourage people to follow every rabbit hole that's coming to you, because even in that free research, you're going to pick up some tools that will totally contribute to what you're here to do, what you will be doing, but vet it before you just go spend all of that money. And another thing you can do is check out the pathway, do daily reprogramming exercises around it, and see if you do have low self-worth and that's why you feel like you need this big training. Also, see if it's what your soul's desiring, you can really use those tools to get deep and see if this is what you're into. Do the clarity exercise for free right on the blog. You can click on manifestation at the top and click on clarity, and it'll take you through a deep imagining hypnosis to just sort of see what your life is supposed to look like. And I will see you guys next week. Have a great weekend.